Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Because I've wanted Ruby to watch Succession for ages, right? And I always have Elle to the OG in my head. And then the other day, before I went on stage in New York, we were in the hotel room or something, she was like, Elle to the UC. Everyone, and welcome to your bona fide favorite pop culture podcast. Today, we are having what could be a shit show at the Funk Factory.
Feels inevitable.
That's incredible.
We are joined by possibly like the best people in the world. We've got Belle Hawkins. Belle chimes in. Belle, you all know and love Belle, and you love her voice on the podcasts. We've heard. Belle, how are you?
Oh my God, cute. I never knew my fairy voice would take me so far, but it's good to be here.
Fairy voice.
Fairy voice. Yeah.
How long? Explain.
Tell me about your fairy voice journey. I was born with it. I've learned to use it the best way I can.
But when did it get named that?
An actor friend of mine years ago.
It's really apt.
Do you think? It's kind of barrow. It's a bit like soft girl, but. Lean in.
No, but
here
honestly,
no,
it's
works.
Like grass is really greener. Like to have a fairy voice.
It's great because you have a lot of range. Like I have my like soft yoga voice and then I have my like psycho bitch on the phone angry at like a department voice like, hi, Annabelle here. And like you can really move it up a notch. Anyway, gorgeous to be here.
Anyway, we also have Dunk, who I reckon has a bit of a fairy voice too.
Like, really?
You have a really soft voice. And you're a soft boy.
I am a soft boy.
A soft boy. I love that you know that.
Yeah. So soft.
Because tell us what happened this morning, Dal.
I just was a bit nauseous. That's not me. Like,
You're allowed to get sick, bro.
I show up. But
you do show up.
But
you always have to leave though.
And I was very excited about this, like a little child. Got up at 4:30, did my prep. I thought I was going to be a scratch. At 7:10, I was messaging on all forums, really throwing it out there. And then I read the newsie, and it was like hyping this podcast, and it was like I feel like it was a sports movie. I was like. You know, when Paul Pierce left game six in the wheelchair and then came back and hit that dagger, you know?
Don't romanticise your life.
Yeah.
And here I am.
We're here with a winner and a legacy, and it couldn't be more gorgeous. No.
Duncan Grieve, he will make it through this podcast without puking on the mic.
I do have a little vivid here, which I will be getting you to sign my notebook after the show.
No, it's so funny because Duncan had texts like, oh no, I've just become nauseous, something. And I just, like, said, that's fine, stay home. And then it was like he had a crisis. And he was like, no, I can make it. I think I'm better. And now he's here with us.
Eye of the tiger playing in the background.
To be clear, I don't think it's, like, yeah, very much. But it's not food poisoning. It's just poor dietary choices yesterday.
Well, because what did you have for dinner last night?
I had half a bag of Papa Jacks. I'm not proud of my lifestyle.
Who is?
No.
Are you?
No. God, no.
You kind of should be. You just went to the Eras tour and spoke on stage in New York.
Sorry. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
But am I proud of my lifestyle? No, because it's like manic.
Yeah.
Crash. You've got me at a good time, though, today.
It's kind of like, sorry, this is such a tangent, but here in New Zealand when like COVID was invented and they had this thing where they would be like three people of interest, 9 a.m. Liquor King Kingsland, 9:30 Crave Cafe, 11 p.m. back at Liquor King Kingsland. Like, and they would say all your movements. I feel like that would be equally embarrassing for me about my lifestyle. You'd be like what? So unhinged and like eating corn chips in the car for lunch.
Went to see a psychic.
Yeah.
Back to the psychic. She didn't agree.
Need a second opinion.
Yeah. Back to the dairy to buy a crunchy bar.
Papa Jack's.
And Papa Jack's.
Didn't you find that, this is total tangent, but I found that so soothing, but seeing how everyone lived.
Yeah, no one was safe.
We were all real rugged.
And like, how dare the government track us, honestly? Oh, kidding.
Whoa, what a turn.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys feel like the government's, like, spying on you?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like they're going to come and take Duncan and, like, sort out. Wait, you've never been on Culture Vulture before?
We warned you of the unhinging, and it's real.
And it's real. No, but in all seriousness, well, it's not that serious. Today we're talking about Succession, which do be our favourite topic around here, and do be our favourite.
You've come back from the USA with a very strange manner of speaking.
I wish you had an
accent.
It's not
a fairy voice.
That's all I'm going to say.
You wish I had an accent?
Yeah.
You remember when you were at school and someone would go on holiday and come back with an accent?
Oh, my God.
Duncan did that with a British one.
It's probably such a New Zealand thing as well, because everyone's like, oh, sorry, it's crazy, but I simply went very far away on a ship and came back. It's like, oh, my fucking God.
Speaking of someone that came on a ship and couldn't talk for a few days to his brother, Logan in Succession. I was about to call him Logan Paul.
That was incredible. You threaded those things together amazingly.
I think it could have been better, but thank you.
Definitely could have been better.
Duncan.
Okay.
On this podcast, we hype Lucy up.
Yeah. The mask energy is new to me.
The nauseous energy is seriously making itself known. So we were going to do what describes our weeks, but I feel like we've actually all been through at least what describes our mornings. Maybe not Belle. What describes your week, Dal?
It sounds boring, but hopefully it's funny. But I was going to say...
Bold way to start.
Real New Zealand energy there.
Do you think they'd say that at my funeral? Like, sounds boring, but hopefully this is a funny story of someone's
hopefully
life.
It's cute. It's
relocation, 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 which is just a cute TV reference. I moved house. Everyone's probably fucking sick of hearing about it, but it's my new brand for the next week. And I feel like I've done... like a month's worth of F45.
Duncan, are you nauseous?
Yeah. I'm just going to nip to the dairy and get some Papa Jacks for lunch. But like, oh, just that. I honestly did not think it would end. And that just like terrible moment at the end of a move where you're standing in your semi-empty house, apartment, whatever. And there's just like still shit to sort and decide.
Yeah.
And I feel like... a nomad, all my stuff, half my stuff still in my car. I feel very unhinged, but I'm leaning into it. Here we are.
You're leaning into it. You're not seeming unhinged, if that's a compliment.
Yeah, you seem like, really together.
Thank you.
I've been it's really almost offensive.
Yeah, considering she's literally living out of your car. No, she's not.
She's not. Sleeping at work.
She's fine. Duncan, do you have something else that describes your week, or was it just the sort of Papa Jack thing?
No, just the nausea.
Oh, just the nausea. I've always found that quite a hard word to say.
Nausea.
Like, is it nausea? Well, no, I don't think so.
Oh, no, I think it must be, there must be multiple ways of saying it.
Okay, diplomat. I think we can say that from all sides.
Yeah, there is nausea and nausea.
A wee wee. Okay, we should just start talking about Succession.
Wait, but what about you?
Well, I didn't actually have something that described my week, but I feel like it's... Well, I'm really proud because I slept for 10 hours on the flight home.
What?
And I cannot sleep on planes.
Did you?
Bought some really good melatonin.
Yeah.
It bought some melatonin, and me and Ruby had an aisle to ourselves. I feel like this is a cop-out because I could talk about, like, so much that happened.
And you're talking about the flight.
And I'm talking about how I slept for 10 hours, but that's, like, a win for me because it was a 16-hour flight.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's You're almost incredible. Like a bit short of trashy movie time.
Yeah, I only watched Legally Blonde and Call Me By Your Name.
Real kind of two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I don't think it's okay to watch movies like Call Me By Your Name on a plane.
Yeah, I
was shocked when you told me that. I was shocked.
Why, because of the peach scene?
No, it's a totally gorgeous movie, but Dunk has a point.
Why? Yeah. What do I have to watch on the plane?
Stupid movie.
Yeah, Ruby watched 21 Jump Street beside me while I was watching.
I watched 21 Jump Street when I last travelled. perfect.
Yeah.
Or like Downton Abbey, because you can just like fall asleep and it's so slow moving and you wake up to a gorgeous piano concerto and you don't know where you are.
I've never seen a single second of Downton Abbey. Mm. So okay. Is it like Coro?
Oh my
god. It's
like a prequel to Coro, right?
It's pre-Coro.
Oh my god.
Coro will be like, it's Bogan Auntie. And they would be like the rich relatives who came here on a ship with a slight accent.
Speaking of someone that came here on a ship.
Oh wow.
Let's talk about Logan Roy. Let's talk about Succession. Let's talk about, does anyone have anywhere they want to start, or should we just give overall thoughts on season 4? Spoiler alert, we're going to spoil everything. A perfect season. Is that how you all felt?
Yeah.
Because I actually haven't seen a single person even try and badmouth it anywhere.
It's pretty rare too. I think there was, I felt like there were the one episode that I wasn't wholly like standing O for was the Logan death episode, which was the one that everyone absolutely shat the bed over. But
I agree.
I just was kind of wading through it for some reason.
I think I only felt that way after seeing the election episode.
Yes.
I think I was very much like, okay, there's that, but then there's this election episode, which is like the best thing I've seen on TV probably ever. Just seeing Roman in his disgusting little element, but I was like, I buy it. Like, it's, I don't know, I just thought it was great. It was pacey, which I always need.
It just, I thought the election episode was quite extraordinary, especially because it did feel like it made you realize just how 2020 happened, you know?
Yeah.
Like the fact that there are these humans with these really intense forces acting on them who maybe aren't the best qualified to be there. And it was just like, it was revelatory. And yeah, I thought that episode was, look, and you didn't see it coming. It was kind of a bottle episode. Yeah. It wasn't really part of the normal run.
Yeah.
A bottle episode?
That's like a, I think that's a real thing. Basically, it's like a self-contained deviation from the normal flow.
I love that. I also love, in that episode, Tom fucking losing it at Shiv on the balcony. Like, that to me
was that in the same episode?
Wait, sorry, no.
That was Tailgate.
Yeah, I'm thinking Tailgate. I'm thinking the precursor to that. Which is,
oh my gosh, what a ginormous flex from you.
Lucy has just taken off her Harry Styles sweatshirt.
It's about 6 degrees centigrade in here.
She's in a Taylor Swift Eras.
And it's a very cool t-shirt. I assume there's one for each of us in a little package at the end of the record.
Oh, a little goodie bag?
If it makes you... Well, I've already given you water, actually, both of you.
With a broken cap.
Want, want, want over here.
If it makes you feel any better, this is not actual merch from the show, because the lines were, like, crazy, we'd heard on the news before we went. And so there was this person at this little market that...
It was a bootleg.
Yeah.
It looked, I actually like the look of it. Is
it's
that
the
even
same as.
Is it Taylor Swift though? Look, it looks like Brittany Murphy.
Okay, it is Taylor Swift, everyone. Duncan's fully gaslighting you.
Do not
over the earwaves right now. Anyway,
sorry.
Back to Succession.
Yeah.
Next question is, what do we all think about it being Tom?
You both take a look at me. I think it's perfect, right?
Same.
Like, it's always that, like he's been such a kind of assiduous bootlicker, middle manager, just does what he's told guy. And it feels like in that company, in that situation, that's the guy who's going to rise, you know? Like that's how these corporate monoliths operate, that he's the one.
And he's just like easy puppet.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Big that guy energy. Also, like, I can't reconcile in my mind which sibling I would feel like, oh my god, yes, about
and that
getting
was the
that
point,
position.
Because
right?
They all suck. Yeah. Like, they kind of all do suck.
Oh, that fight scene in the final episode just undid me.
What about Kendall lying about killing the boy? Saying that...
Was he lying?
No.
I think that he's managed to disassociate
totally,
it.
Yeah. Totally.
Being like, that didn't happen. Side note, well, this whole thing's just going to be side note. The final scene where Kendall's sitting in Battery Park, like looking out at the water.
Do you know this after being in New York?
Well, yes, I do. No, because really funny, while I was there, because Ruby hasn't seen the final yet. And I
Ruby?
I know. She's trying. That's why I have to edit this episode, because she is catching up.
Oh, my God.
From how far back?
She's like season 2 or season 3.
Oh, wow, she's got a lot to
go.
Yeah,
she's got some really good ones to go. Anyway, apparently there was all these Succession fans lining up recreating that scene at Battery Park of the back of Kendall's head looking out at the water. And if Ruby had watched the finale, I would have been right there with them. Like,
oh my God.
But that was, yeah, crazy. But, do you think that the rumours that he ended up killing himself are true?
I've not heard those rumours. I've not really investigated the discourse, but no.
You don't think he would have?
Bill?
There was a moment, when he takes the elevator, I thought this is done. Yeah, because he's so unhinged.
I know.
And maybe, like, bringing up the whole killing that boy and everything, just the total collapse of his entire
being,
sense of purpose.
Yeah, his whole life had been on a track for that one moment. Mm. And then not only does he not get it, but with it goes the possibility of ever attaining it.
And, so, like, the repercussions for him are wild. Like, what the fuck is he going to do for the rest of his life?
Well, he's going to sit on his piles of money. Well, that's actually a question that we'll get to in 1 second, just back to the Kendall thing.
Mm.
Everyone was saying the reason there was this discourse about whether he stays alive after all of this was because there's been a lot of, like, water sort of themes throughout his, like, what does he always say? Like, be like water, and, like,
we're into a fucking flow state.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he nearly drowns in the pool that time, and then the last shot is him, like, looking at the water, and then he said in an interview that he tried, and I don't know if actors should do this. I don't know. And some of them have been really, like, closed off. My character's done. I'm not talking about my character. He said that he attempted to jump into the water, like, without everyone on set knowing or something.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. But, yeah. I mean, that's been such a specific performance and an approach to inhabiting the character that sounds like it was really irritating for most people.
It does. Hey, yeah. For those who haven't read, who wrote that article?
It was a New Yorker profile. It was very good.
How would you do a power recap of that? Just that he is...
He basically stays in character for months at a time and refuses
method.
To sort of deviate. It's the most hardcore method.
Yeah.
But for me, like, the results, you know, like, yeah. I'm not really concerned about whether you're irritating to your castmates. I give a fuck about the product, and the product is extraordinary. And
he's a product man.
Yeah. Totally. Totally
plus.
A product guy.
Living class.
100.
I really slide that living
Live
plus.
Forever. Okay, that was a fucking good episode.
Yeah.
Like,
when he was like, they're not the clouds. I saw them in Berlin.
He killed me. And those poor, like stage workers who have to go and construct this house in 12 hours. It reminded me of working in advertising on a pitch. And they're like,
we want this.
We're going to fill the room with sand. I don't know how. I don't care how. Go and do it. And you're just like, light me on fire.
Yeah. Bury me in that sand.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much of the show and particularly this season where there were really quite profound insights into extreme wealth, into the sort of weird psychology of corporate takeovers, into like the pressure that heats up around situations like that, into how people sort of manipulate markets with product launches and then force, as you suggested, like the rest of the whole company to backfill a real thing to go there, Elizabeth Holmes style. Like, these are all sort of things that we are aware of in the kind of culture of our time, but I've never seen them so sort of viscerally and like expressed in a way where you're like, that it just feels real. Like you see a lot of shows sort of that are nominally in this area and they're entertaining, but they don't have any sense that you're actually gaining some piercing insight into what it really feels like, whereas this did.
Like, I think the election episode was the best thing I've seen that I could sit through, really enjoy, and then understand that it was actually showing real life. Yeah. What do you all think that the kids are going to go and do now? including Connor, who I know everyone forgets.
He was the most fun. I like that you set us a little homework task. Yeah, Belle, do you want to start?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mine's a bit unhinged.
Oh, duh.
have you done them as individuals or as a group? And
I thought we'd bounce off each other. I really want, and I think it would be Kendall, or maybe it would be weird if it's Roman. I want one of them to go and be like a white woke man who's like went to Bali and became super spiritual like ayahuasca.
I've literally written that down.
No.
For Kendall, Adam Newman, long hair, ayahuasca.
Shut up.
He does have friends. That vibe, right? Like he's just got to.
Well, he needs something bigger than himself.
Correct. But he's like wearing amethyst. He's like went into the rainforest for 2 weeks and came out and like lives in this like mansion tree hut thing in some like jungle place and has a podcast and wears lots of necklaces but still trades Bitcoin
and absolutely. He's got a sort of like he's extremely polyamorous. Just a whole scene, and you can really I sort of feel that for him very intensely.
Yeah, same.
Like it is on the other side of that gazing into the water is like I must obliterate my past.
Yeah, yeah.
And create a new me so as to function in this world. And luckily I happen to have limitless resources to help achieve that.
Yes, and he'll get like an ex-New Yorker journalist who hasn't quite made enough money on Substack to write his book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What would the book be called?
Oh, like Over and Above.
About a Roy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That is really
that's
good.
That's really
shooting
good.
For the way stars. No, that's more of like someone that is coming up.
About a Roy, so good.
I love the Adam Newman reference in there. That is like
Dunk
no
is
shoes.
Stoked on that.
No, yeah, I'm quite psyched. Like, that was 4:30, pre-nausea energy.
Pre-nausea. But post-Papa Jacks.
The nausea's come back now that he's so excited. People have aligned.
Oh, he's vegan, but he wears like leather. He's just a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't believe we thought this. It's incredible.
It's really. To be very clear with everyone, listeners included, not just everyone in the room, I set this homework task, didn't think once about what I thought the characters would do. Just literally wanted to hear what you guys thought. But Shiv is quite an obvious one. She becomes the wife of Tom and not much more.
Well, see, I don't know. Like, did you see, the way that they were holding
hands
was like, it looked like, you know, the sort of early generative AI where they could never get the hands
that
right.
Perfect. That's a great analogy.
And I don't see them. Them lasting, curiously.
Hottest take on the internet.
No, they will. I reckon Shiv won't relinquish that proximity to power.
Okay. So my theory of Shiv is that this actually provides her like an opportunity to kind of move. To go to the thing that she loved. Like I picture her running a super PAC, like being just like a classic establishment Democrat, power broker.
What's
like,
a super PAC?
That's like a political action committee. It's basically a thing where you can take outside funds. You don't have to declare where the declarations come from, and then you can spend them on candidates you support.
Oh, okay.
It's like an important part of the US political infrastructure. And I can kind of see.
You really thought hard about this.
Well,
thank you.
Because she is the most normal one who's just kind of, oh, I guess I'm in this family. And the closer she's got to it, the more crazy making it was. But I feel like being able to leave it, she might actually stabilize into something that actually is most closely matches what a semi-normal person would do with their intellect and means, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll reconnect her to her true passion and purpose in the world.
And she gets to fuck Knight again.
Yeah. I want that feedback.
Same.
I am fascinated to know what kind of mothering experience she will have. I think we all can kind of imagine what that would be. But I would love for it to be a surprising one.
Yeah, like she's actually good.
Yeah.
She's not like her mum, who I hated so much.
Oh, what a well-drawn character, though.
I know.
But what
impressed.
About Peter and his nobbies?
Oh my God, nobbies? just that. I mean, that kitchen scene was just gorgeous.
Yeah. Wasn't it? I think that was, like, so heartbreaking.
Yeah,
if you have siblings, you were immediately there, you know, in that, like, sacred, hilarious, fucked up dynamic where everything's okay and you're like young again for a hot second, and to like give us that and then to completely ruin our lives with what followed.
What was to come.
Yeah.
I know. What
Savage.
Was it? Neil fit for a king or something? King. Just, we were going to get to this later, but that's like my favourite scene. That's not a hot take. I think a lot of people feel that. One of my favourite scenes in the whole goddamn thing. Connor. What's next for Connor? The con heads, are they gonna rally? Connor, so also, should we just talk about how Connor had just some really heartbreaking lines this season?
Oh, his lines were just incredible.
The good thing about having a family that doesn't love you is you learn to live without it.
And he says it with, like, no, he's not searching for self-pity there.
He's dead inside.
It's just, this is just him accurately
really?
Describing.
Yeah, yeah.
Connor, the
and he
world's
said he'd never even
little
liked
boy.
Me. And he's the eldest, but we do all forget that he's the eldest. Connor.
Yeah, Connor. Well, what did you have for Connor?
I was still thinking about Shiv. What did you have? I'm looking at your notebook. And I just
come on, Duncan,
know
you're the one carrying the team. Thank God you did come.
Yeah, thank God you're keeping these two worn-out women afloat.
So I basically view him as like a sort of a hard right version of Ralph Nader, who was this candidate. I think he basically ran as an independent, and there's a pretty plausible theory that he is the reason that George W. Bush got elected. And I can kind of see Connor being this, like, just addicted to campaigning, never gets more than this, just burning his fortune out there, just forever in this kind of absolute netherworld fringe. I also, the other thing I wrote down was seasteading, which I think I
What's
really
that?
So seasteading is this, Peter Thiel's really into it. It's this idea that you can set up basically a new libertarian republic 15 miles offshore where you're in international waters, which has no laws, and you live a truly free life.
Oh.
It's like, it's a whole thing, and I can really, it's an obvious, like, that's not particularly original, the idea that Conor Roy would be really into that, but I can just see him just going down this kind of crypto-libertarian, just this voyage and just glorying in it.
Like with his ranch and with his wine and with all that stuff we saw early on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cottagecore.
Yeah, cottagecore.
Yeah, like libertarian cottagecore at sea.
What about Willa? Does she love him for real? She's like, she's winning. She's come out. She's in Logan Roy's old apartment. She's getting rid of all his shit. She's going to buy all her new shit. She's going to put on another play. Willa kind of slayed.
She's like, I would love to know how she redecorates that apartment. Was it pressing, like, urgent question in my mind. When I'm going to sleep at night, sometimes I try and imagine.
Get on Pinterest. Yeah.
I've just got a small Willa board. Mason jars are obviously out. Everything else is up for grabs. I also loved that scene on the boat where Willa's like, reading a play review on the iPad and just throws it over. Oh, yeah.
Willa and Connor's relationship. Okay, if you're ranking like the greatest relationships on
of
the
all
show,
time.
Roman and Jerry
is obviously number one. Weirdly hot.
Yeah. Ruby thought I was so weird because I said, I'm not going to lie, like, I've watched that scene a lot. I fucking love Roman and Jerry.
Shiv and Nate.
Yeah,
hot, horny.
Just conventionally hot and horny. And then I think Willa and Connor's just like
cute,
goofy, weird, somehow, like, obviously disgusting.
Yeah.
It kind of works.
Okay, then we've got Roman, everyone. My favourite character of the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, I don't like what I've got for Roman.
Do you have a prediction?
I cannot picture Roman. I reckon he's like, weirdly, I think he can be a good decision maker. So I think, yeah, I know there were times throughout this, like, season specifically where I was like, you kind of can do this. You can't make the speech at the top of the thing, but you can be decisive and you can, like, go and hustle people. So I wonder if he, I don't know if it's media, but I wonder if he goes back into business and he's still fucking, like, jerking off to Jerry and shit, obviously.
Well, duh. Well, I mean, so that's what basically what I had was that he, that the, him sort of blinking and botching it in such a public way at his dad's funeral, I think that he feels like he has to sort of avenge that and he has the means to do it. So I can see him just being this, like,
he needs Ruinge.
Persistently Ruinge. In startups kind of guy.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, he becomes borderline fascist by the end and he's very into that kind of non-elected president.
But I don't know if he, I don't know if he actually is or he just goes wherever he thinks he needs to. Like that's, he's a decision maker but he doesn't even make like really morally informed decisions.
He's got no, that's why I think why Logan liked him because he was morally flexible.
Yes.
Yes, but then you have that scene where he runs out into the protest and gets super fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's like he's just trying to feel alive and like one of the people. So is he a fascist? I think that was a good point.
I think he likes to feel pain, and this is not a hot take, whatever way it comes to. Whatever's going to give him the most pain, the man's going to go. So he needs some therapy.
That scene with where Kendall reopens his wound.
Yeah. So what did you both make of that? Was that Kendall, like, saying, it's fine that you blinked and you can't do this job and you know that you need to look like you're a bit more fucked up than you are as an excuse, let me do this for you? Or was Roman pushing his head into Kendall as a way of, like, self-harming?
Oh, God.
I read it the first way.
Yeah, I read it the first way.
But I also...
Brotherly love.
But then there is a version where it was just a hug and that Kendall ripped it open just to kind of make it impossible for Roman to make an end run around for the...
Okay, that's true. Role. Nothing is ever simple.
I know.
Nothing is ever like, I did a really nice thing.
Yeah.
I saw this interview with Jesse Armstrong who said he had to often rein the writers in or push them away. Because they kept, and I, like, naturally as you would, try to redeem them a little bit too much. And he was like, there was this line in which we could never cross, which was like, you could never, ever truly trust anyone, believe anyone, or feel like anyone was sort of like, again, getting triumphing or kind of redeeming themselves. And I think that was like
one of the most
addictive things about the show. Because what's so fascinating is like, what's the pitch? Rich people in offices, sometimes they go to Lake Como. Like, basically, right? Trying to fight over who wins this company. It could have been the most fucking boring show.
Yeah.
But I think parameters like that is what, like, made it so addictive because you're like, surely this, surely that, surely that. But
never.
Well, it's that the Seinfeld no hugging, no learning, but even more kind of extreme, like that what you just described, like it's so unsentimental, it will give you nothing for any of these people,
which is crazy because when, like, I think there should be like PhDs written on the fandom of Succession, because for people that gave you absolutely nothing, they were all turned into baby girls. Like, for people that were like so sterile and non, like, thirst trappy or non, I don't even know, like, it was, you weren't supposed to fall in love with them. Like, the edits that I've seen online are just turning these awful, awful people into, like, the most loved baby girl, soft. Like, I love when Tom does this, like, in the world. It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's just so fucking funny.
Well, yeah, because it's all happening in a vacuum. Where if you have a show where there are no likable characters at all, really, then you kind of, our human, like, desire to root for someone means that we end up kind of glomming onto all of these just absolute
creatures. Or changing, right? Like, I don't think anyone was like, I'm like Kendall through and through.
Yeah.
Stand by this guy. Like, everyone changed hands all the time.
And then we know what's next for Tom. Is he going to be a really good CEO? Is he not? Who really cares?
Well, he's being marionetted.
Yeah.
So he just gets to just do whatever. He exists at Matson's pleasure for us precisely
what kind
as
of
well.
Fucked up shit.
Oh my god, that dinner.
Shiver.
What about Greg, everyone? Greg really fell off, didn't he? He served his purpose, I guess.
I mean, I did love his the quad stuff was very funny material. He's always just trying to join a band, you know, the Disgusting Brothers and the quad.
As someone who's in a band, I can't imagine how hard that.
Oh, no, but I can imagine feeling so left out if you're not in a band.
Yeah,
no.
I imagine it being the worst
just a solo
feeling.
Artist.
Yeah. He's called Papa Jack.
I don't know, but as someone who's in a band, it's just a different feeling.
No, I'm sorry.
So niche.
No, it's because we talk about the band. We have to talk about the band every time we're on Culture Vulture together. And it's just normal ever hear the band. They've just heard about it.
And everyone's so sick of it, but it is a secret joke that we bring up the band in every podcast.
I love it.
But sorry anyway, Greg, he's not in a band. His future is what? He's Tom's Eva? He's Tom's. What about Kendall's other Jess? Oh.
Kills me. Eva as well. Can't. Like, what kind of fucked up contract has she signed to not be able to leave? Yeah. And, like, what is going on there?
The whole Swedish, that scene in the Swedish chalet was really quite something.
I loved how much more of the Swedes we got in this season. I thought Matson was fucking great.
Oh, my God. Rocking up in that, like, gold sort of tracksuit.
What about him telling Tom that he wants to fuck Shiv and that he reckons Shiv wants to fuck him as well?
Oh, my God.
And
which
Tom.
Was true.
Yeah. I was waiting for it to happen.
I know. I kind of wish it did.
Same.
Is that too obvious? Is that basic?
Jesse Armstrong would never.
Yeah, he would never.
He can only bait.
Too much redemption.
Too much redemption if they fuck.
It's not like a slutty show, though, is it? Like, there's not a lot of
making
out, which I...
Except for Roman and Jerry.
Yeah.
Thought but do they make out or
no,
does he just...
Nah. He just...
Phone sex, kind of. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like, I thought that was a really interesting decision for a show that's quite stark, doesn't have a lot of visual colour. You know, the pressure on the dialogue is insurmountable.
Yeah.
Well, and especially because HBO is notoriously, like, it's the nudity network. That's what powered its growth. And this show sort of profiles as something where they would just be just laying that on everywhere just because you can.
Yeah.
And it was weirdly restrained.
It was really PG. Roman sends a dick pic to his dad. Oh, God.
That, I think, was the funniest, most excruciating moment of the whole series.
Yeah, should we get to just favourite moments
let's just bang those
of everything, whole series, everything? Duncan, go.
I mean, I had Roman and Jerry's relationship.
Yeah.
I just found it very authentic, very funny, very weirdly sweet. And then the fact that it directly led to the dick pic, and therefore is, you know,
I hated the dick pic because Logan actually, it was like the one thing that he brought up a few times with, like, the one thing he sort of followed up on because he kept saying, "You're a sicko," and then they get on the boat to Como and he's like, "Are you good? Are you a fucking sicko?" So dick pic reigned supreme for you. Not surprising considering every time on the shit show you bring something about nuts or crotches.
I thought you were going to say you bring a dick pic.
Oh my God.
Social
it's a weird thing to do to a podcast. Yeah. Here we are.
I'm dying.
No. Belle, do you have any favourite moments or was it all shit? Nah.
To be honest, I didn't like the show. I was talking about this with my friends and I love, like, this incidental ones. We're talking about when... Why are you laughing?
Just read a quote. Sorry.
Can you read it after this?
Yeah.
When Tom eats Logan's chicken on the boat.
Really good.
I know.
Just silencio. Oh, gorge. And then... I mean, I loved Shiv's affair. Like, it was just hot. And I loved watching, like, someone's need to be loved kind of untangle them from their, like, psycho power trips for 1 second. And I think that's sort of when you see Shiv at her, like, kind of...
Authenticist.
Yeah. I was going to say sweetest, but not true.
Well, that was the moment where she almost threatened to cross over into being just a likable character.
Yeah.
And then Jesse came in and reined her back.
No way.
Also at their wedding, right before they get married, and she goes upstairs with Tom and she's like, oh, that maybe they've just got married. And she's like, yeah, this is an open marriage, right? And
he's like, oh, didn't incredible. That just
devastate yeah. you? And just watching Tom, like, process this information and try and have this kind of PR front.
It was like it was a sort of an analogue to the Mattson dinner scene where he just
that was
excellent. The some of these are very basic, but the congressional hearings was just a bore on the floor. Like you don't even need to talk about them, but
my
favorite were just such viscerally crazy television.
Yeah. My favorite moment of all time, none of us have mentioned, the L to the OG rap.
Oh, okay.
You know, I had written that down. Got a bit
peaky. Whoa, she's not a fairy anymore. Yeah.
That was my department phone call voice.
Because I've wanted Ruby to watch Succession for ages, right? And I always have L to the OG in my head. And then the other day, before I went on stage in New York, in the hotel room or something, she was like, L to the UC. And she started like...
Was there any fucked up part of you was like, maybe I'm going to do that?
No.
Like,
oh my God.
I just won't be able to hold myself back.
Oh, the intrusive thoughts. Honestly, if I was in a different mood, it could have come out on stage.
Did you rock like an oversized biker jacket?
A bomber jacket with the bros or whatever was on it. Also, the kids being happy in that one scene.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse Armstrong, for your service on that.
Yeah.
Roman and Jerry phone sex.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Seminal.
The line that I was laughing about that I just have written down here is from Logan, really early on. Romulus, when you're laughing, please do it at the same volume as everyone else. We didn't get you from a hyena farm. And it was just because, like, that's relatable.
I just
love that. Also, you can't make a tomlet without breaking some eggs.
That will go down in history. Yeah.
Just so good.
Yeah, yeah. I love, like, this is probably normie and embarrassing, but I love the, like, YouTube clips that people have recut, and it's like, Succession is a romantic comedy.
Yes.
And it's just,
very
like,
good.
So good. I also loved, which is quite dark, but after Kendall has that car accident and Logan kind of really fucking protects him in a way that, like, you see this real kind of primal father mode step in, and there's a tiny second where you're like, I mean, it's fucked up, right, that they didn't go to the police, just need to acknowledge that.
And then he makes Kendall go with him to the house just to torture him.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there are these moments of, like, oh, you've redeemed. No.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I think that's where it head fakes you, right? Like, because they're sort of making you think, okay, well, he does have this paternal instinct in him, but in fact, it's actually, oh, no. He's basically just looking at him, oh, this is a block of votes, which I can pull back on side. I can take control of this organism.
Yeah.
I can break it down, rebuild it, and it is mine.
Oh, my God. That, just heartbreaking scene where he's wrenched out of the – it's like the temperature dropped in the room. out of the pool from the retreat and taken to that press conference is just like
–
anyway. I mean, that's why he's growing his hair out and getting on the aisle.
He's on the aisle.
All that stuff needs to go.
He's got a bit of cacti juice.
Yeah.
And an amethyst, and it's all good.
Does anyone have any lasting things that we haven't covered that you really feel like you need to say because Succession's over forever?
I mean, I've sort of touched on this before. I loved the Volta storyline. I just finished last night, finished Traffic, Ben Smith's book about Gawker, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, et cetera. And really, really fascinating book if you're a media nerd, but and also about Vice. But basically, like, Volta was a kind of a combo of all of those things. And I really, really enjoyed the sort of preening arrogance of the Volta founder and these kind of like hipster staff who were just so dismissive of the old media company.
Oh my God.
And then the way that Kendall comes in and just says, oh, you know what? Money is just still undefeated and I'm just going to use it to shut you down and make you all redundant. And that's just, you know, like I just, the story of those companies this decade, that is just literally what's happened on multiple occasions to companies like that. And it's just like, it's chilling.
Did you like the callback to Lawrence from Volta in the final episode?
Oh, incredible.
Just great writing.
Just great writing.
Just great writing, that's what, everyone.
It was. I mean, incredible performances enabled by just all-time great writing.
Like, all-time great cast.
Yeah.
What a treat that we got with Succession, everyone.
Such a treat.
And if you haven't watched it.
Got it.
You definitely didn't listen to this, first of all. But that sucks for you. Come watch it. I sometimes feel like when I'm trying to tell people to watch Succession, they're picturing like what you described before, just like rich people in suits, like...
They're picturing suits
for the company, and I'm like, it's so much more than that. But if you're not willing to give it what it deserves,
do you give it some media studies language? Like, it's really about the human condition. It's about the interplay of power and desire.
If you look at the color of the curtains, like that was a choice because they're all blue.
Yeah. Do you know about metaphors? We'll start there.
Oh, but all of this to say. Thank you two for joining me. Duncan, are you still nauseous?
Yeah.
No, it's all gone.
It's the alkaline water.
It's been soothed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and it's the ayahuasca.
And on that note, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.